So one of these Sundays, we might all show up at the same time. Wouldn't that be amazing? We have people traveling. We have people away in cabins. We have some people that are quarantined. Not that they have it, but they were around people. So they have to stay quarantined for a while. So they're out this morning. And we have people who have family from out of town in. So if we actually all showed up one Sunday, that would just really be exciting. And then last Sunday, a bunch of us men were at the men's retreat. Well, you heard about bees and babies. And one of the speakers there made a comment. And when he did, it really made me stop to think. And so we have some free time where we can just walk around, pray, visit. And I was walking around praying, and I started thinking of verses and started to think of ways to apply this thing that I had heard, and all of a sudden I realized I was preparing a sermon. So that's going to be our message today. So the statement that was made was, should every thought that passes through my mind come out of my mouth? Yeah. So right away, I thought, yeah, not that one and not that one. And then I remember on some television shows and some movies where people would say, did I say that out loud? Have any of you ever had that experience where you said something and then as soon as it came out, you were like, yeah, I either shouldn't have said it at all or maybe used a different word or two? Yeah, this guy does that quite frequently. So I started thinking about, well, what's the Bible have to say about what we said? And I'm going to have to get this taped to some people because, for example, I know Mike Deal loves to talk about the power of what we say. He'll say, you need to say to the mountain. And so I thought of him, and he's one of the people who couldn't be here today, so we'll get a tape to it. What you and I say is powerful. It has an effect. So what you and I say does affect people. It affects every single person that hears what we say. So then the question is, am I affecting them in a positive way or in a negative way? What we say either advances one kingdom or the other. It expresses love or it expresses fear and hate. It encourages or it discourages. Just think what effect one word can have. If you're in a group of people and somebody yells, fire! One word and you're all going to stand up and run for the exit. I even hate to say this, but for a point of illustration, you're in a plane and somebody says, bomb. You're not even allowed to kid about that. You will immediately be sent out of the plane with a parachute or not. Our words, what we say, are powerful. We are actually creating something by what we say. Proverbs, as you know, is a book of wisdom. Well, it gives us some advice on the subject. He who restrains his words has knowledge. When he closes his lips, he is considered prudent. I had to stop and think about that. The words of your mouth are deep waters, either a fountain of wisdom or a cause of strife. The way he's saying this, it makes it seem like very few of our words are neutral. It says it's either a fountain of wisdom or a cause of strife. A fool does not delight in understanding or instruction, but only in revealing what is on his mind. Discretion is a guard for you. That's all from Proverbs. So that made me think, well, if discretion is a guard, then that means we really need to put a guard right here. So I want to talk with you a little bit about what that guard may be. So you know what a guard does, right? Usually a guard keeps you from coming in someplace that you're not supposed to be. I saw guards yesterday. There was nobody getting into where those speakers were, especially the VP. But guards can also keep things from coming out that shouldn't come out, right? Jesus said in John 8 and in John 14, I do nothing on my own initiative, but I speak these things as the Father taught. Wow. He's saying he doesn't do anything on his own initiative. As he spoke these things, many came to believe in him. As he spoke these things. Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own initiative, but the Father abiding in me does his work. Wow, that gives us a goal then, doesn't it? That the things that we say would be things that Father God would say. That we would say things that would cause people to see God, to draw near to God. Things that would bring life and advance His kingdom. So when you think of somebody who really could have used a guard, who comes to mind? In the New Testament. I don't mean the person sitting next to you. Who in the New Testament? Peter. Absolutely. So here's Peter, and Jesus is there with all the disciples, and Jesus is sort of interested in knowing what the crowds of people are saying about him. So he says to his disciples, who are people saying that I am? So they name a couple things. Peter says, you're the Messiah, the Son of the living God. That was two completely different things, Messiah and the Son of the living God. That he got both of those, that was really amazing. Jesus said, that thought didn't come from you, but my Father revealed that to you. So what we say can be influenced by what God reveals to us. So that was one of his better days. But shortly after that, they're walking and Jesus says, you know, we're heading toward Jerusalem. And when we get there, I'm going to be arrested and I'm going to be killed. And Peter blurts out like he normally does with no guard here. God forbid, Jesus, you can't let that happen. And what does Jesus say? Does Jesus say, well, Peter, that wasn't really a good idea? He says, get behind me, Satan. What? He said to the same person that he just said, my Father revealed that to you. He didn't mean that Peter was Satan. He meant that was what Peter was saying was influenced by Satan. So here we have Pete being influenced by the Father. Here we have him being influenced, I think. So that means the things that we say can be influenced by either the enemy or our Father. So one other example. Remember Jesus sent the teams out in two. And he gave them authority to heal disease and to free people from demonic oppression. And they came back and they said, oh my goodness! Even the devils obey us. And Jesus said, well, be a little more excited that your names are written in the Lamb's book of life. I'm paraphrasing. Jesus didn't use all the words that are coming out of my mouth, but that's the idea. So they now go to the next village. And these guys have discovered that Jesus has given them some of his power. So they go to this village, and Jesus isn't treated nicely. So, James and John get offended for Jesus because people didn't treat him nicely, and they say, hey, you want us to call fire down from heaven and burn up the whole village? Really? Really? I don't think there was a guard there. What did Jesus do? It says, He rebuked them and said, You do not know what spirit is affecting you. So it wasn't the Holy Spirit, was it? Luke 9. So what can you and I learn from these examples in the Word? That what we say can be influenced, can't it? And that we need to stop and evaluate what's about to come out. Who remembers James 1:19? Let everyone be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. In the Living Testament, that is, understand this, my dear brothers and sisters, you must all be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. So what have we learned so far? That when we speak, it brings life and encouragement. It should be what Jesus would say, and it needs to be what God wants us to say. So sometimes we have to actually then pause and ask those questions, don't we? Otherwise, it'll just flow out. Will it bring life and encouragement? Would it be what Jesus would say? And is it what God wants me to say? Romans 14:19. So then, let us pursue the things which make for peace and the building up of one another. I love that verse because it tells me what two of the guards need to be. Guard number one is, will these words bring peace or stir up strife and disunity? Will what I'm about to say bring peace or will it bring strife and disunity? If the things that we say and the things that we do are to make for peace and the building up of one another. Guard number two. Will these words encourage others or discourage them? Will my words encourage or discourage? Boy, I need to work on those two guards. I really do. 1 Thessalonians 5:11. 1 Thessalonians. Always a mouthful. 5:11. Therefore, encourage one another and build up one another. So, how powerful actually are my words? How powerful? Well, James tells us to bridle our tongue. Bridle. Have any of you ever ridden a horse? You put a bit and a bridle on so that you can steer the horse. Apparently, this thing here in my mouth needs to be bridled. Otherwise, the Holy Spirit would not have inspired James to write that. What comes out of our mouths is powerful. James says that it's like starting a wildfire. Wow, we certainly have an illustration of that, don't we? California and Oregon. They said, I think it's the one in Oregon. It was actually set on purpose. Usually what happens out there is a lightning strike or something that starts it, and then it just goes through all the dry forest because they've been in a drought for like, I think I was out there last 6 years ago, and there was a drought. The one really big lake that people all used to go up to see was empty. It completely dried up because it was filled from water from the mountain. But these fires got started, and they're bringing in firefighters not only from the U.S., but other nations now are sending firefighters to try to put these out. So you might start a little spark flying out, but James tells us that spark could start a wild fire. So then he asks the question, so who can tame it? I don't like questions like that, because that makes me think, well, maybe it can't be. But then I'm thinking, if that's the question in the Word, that means we can. We can actually tame this thing. 1 Peter 3, those of you that like to follow along. 1 Peter 3, starting in verse 8. To sum up. So whenever somebody writes that, they're saying, okay, I just gave you a whole bunch of information. Now I want to condense it for you and sum it up. Let all be harmonious, sympathetic, brotherly, kind-hearted, humble in spirit, not returning evil for evil or insult for insult. Boy, that's hard. When you're insulted, what do you want to do? You just want to insult right back. But giving a blessing instead. For you were called for this very purpose, that you might inherit a blessing. So you inherit a blessing, you give a blessing. You inherit a blessing, you give a blessing. For the one who desires life to love and see good days must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. He must turn away from evil and do good. He must seek peace and pursue it. All right, quick summary. Quick summary. Your words and my words are powerful. How powerful? Well, we've already heard that they can start a fire. Proverbs 18:21. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. What? Come on! That means this nasty thing in here that he warns us about what can come out of there actually can speak life or death. When you think of it, what else is more powerful than that? So our words really do have a powerful effect on others, on the environment. I mean, just think if you're in a room and, okay, there aren't any kids here, but illustration. Somebody drops the F-bomb or the N-word. I mean, doesn't that, you know, the whole room? That's just one word. One word. So we need to put these guards here and ask things like, am what I about to say, will it bring life to me? Or will it cause death? Now, I don't think that what we say, I have to stop and pause about that a minute because it just said life and death, but like, I don't think we can speak something and somebody's going to instantly die. But what's it bring death to? It could bring death to their hopes. Okay? You know, sometimes I've heard in counseling sessions and in sozos, some of the things that parents have said, and we all say things when we're frustrated, when we're upset, when we're tired, but these used to be kids who are now adults are still dealing with the effect of that thing. Okay? You're no good. You're never amount to anything. You're going to be, one guy said his father kept telling him, all you're ever going to be is a garbage collector. Come on. So we can speak death to someone's hopes, to someone's dreams. We can discourage them by our word. Discourage means you rob them of their courage. That's what discourage means. So you go up and you take their courage and you grab it and pull it away. So now you leave the person discouraged without any encouragement. How much better to be a bringer of life? So I think it would be great to just take a little time. I felt like after yesterday, and I know some of you came here yesterday, but some of you couldn't. Some of you watched it on TV. But I just felt like we should have maybe a 15-minute prayer time before we close. And we can pray about the message this morning, but you can also pray for the nation. Some of this was personal repentance. Some of it was just asking God to move us beyond where we are now. The return was all about revival and God reviving the land. So let's just have a little prayer time. The last verse I want to share, and it's a really good goal, let no unwholesome word. This is Ephesians 4:29. Let no wholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only, see, there's the guard, but only words that edify and are helpful, that they may give grace to those who hear them. So I want to start by praying about our message, and then I just want us to have some prayer time where you can pray quietly, or if you want to stand up and pray out loud and we'll all pray along, that would just be wonderful. Well, Father God, we thank you for the power of your word that can pierce us to the heart, that can show us our need, that can bring light to an area that maybe we weren't that aware of. And so, Father, today, realizing that we may have been the person that spoke those words of discouragement, that we may have been the person who spoke those words that caused strife, we ask your forgiveness. Jesus said that he only spoke what the Father instructed him to speak. Father, we only want to speak words of life. We only want to speak words of encouragement. We don't want to speak any unwholesome words. We want to speak words that bring life to others. So we ask that you would help us, Holy Spirit. You're the counselor, you're the guide, you're the teacher. So help us to put those guards that what we say would produce peace and not strife. That would produce encouragement to one another, as your word tells us, to encourage and edify and build up one another. So, Father, I ask you to help me. I often speak without stopping and pausing and just saying, boy, do I really need to say that? Which is the question we started with. Should I say that? What are the effects going to be if I speak out that word? Life and death are in the power of the tongue. So, Father, we're believing today that you're going to help us tame it. You're going to help us bridle it like a wild horse and to lead and guide what we speak. So we thank you for that, Father. And, Lord, we just rejoice over what happened yesterday in our capital. That tens of thousands of people took the time, took the cost involved, traveled to all pray together. God, come and move mightily in this day.